Selling lies and buying time, killing people that's in line. Lower class and social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Censorship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for they bomb. They shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape. They burn the kids, no one makes gun. Trees, lie to your face, fight and die. Cause God will give. Buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social slide. They don't matter, genocide. Sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. See the shit, force of bear. Fuck them back, it's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill. They massacre, rape, they burn. The kids, no one makes gun. Trees, lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah. Back around again.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, my favorite little online network. I don't know why I like saying that, but I do, because I do like UCY.TV a lot. And hopefully it's growing. Anyways, today's 19th of December. And, well, strange just keeps going. I don't know what, you know, I'm on Skype, and I'm looking at Green Ontario Fund. I don't know when these ads started popping up on Skype, but it's annoying. Anyways, this they got, I think it's $600 million on home energy upgrades. Get thousands of dollars in rebates. I read this in the news the other day. Now, the province of Ontario is over $300 billion in the hole at interest, which is it's pretty close to twice the debt load of California. And California has a bigger population than the entire country of Canada. So we're in serious trouble, but the government, who's going to try and win the election next year, is putting out $600 million for energy upgrades. Well, this whole energy upgrade thing, this whole green death cult religion comes out of the UN, and it comes out of the Satanist butt end. Sooner or later, people are going to wake up to the scam known as green. It's green on the outside and extraordinarily red on the inside. Anyways, what I hate about rebates, first of all, the province doesn't have any money. It's $300 billion plus in the hole. There's only 15 million people living here. You ain't going to pay that off anytime soon. So let's kick up $600 million for green energy upgrades, whatever the hell that's supposed to be. So they have a heat pump, an in-ground heat source. You could put one of those in, you can get a $20,000 rebate. Well, if you're in the in-ground heat business, you're going to do very well. And those who can afford to put in an in-ground heat pump are going to get a $20,000 rebate. And those who are on pensions or just making ends meet at low minimum wage jobs, they're basically screwed because they can't afford to do what they want you to do and give you the money for it. So if you reinstall, you put new windows in your house, you can get up to, I think it's $5,000 or something. If you re-insulate your house, you can get up to $7,200. So the $600 million is going to benefit who? It's going to benefit certain businesses, and it's going to benefit those who can afford to probably go out and borrow the money to do the job themselves, but they're just sitting around waiting for the subsidies. So those who really don't need the subsidy are the ones who will take advantage of the subsidy, and those who really need the subsidy won't be able to take advantage of it. But there's another part to this, and the next part is that once people eat up that $600 million, the idea is to force you to upgrade your home. And the lower end people are going to can't afford it. Well, that's fine. And it's all written down in the paper. It's all UN garbage. Because remember, what's not sustainable? Private property. So those who can't afford it are going to be forced to upgrade. Forced to upgrade. Because, well, you have a responsibility to save the planet and cut your carbon footprint. That's where the municipalities come in, and the bankers come in, of course, the lawyers. So the municipalities are going to lend money to the to those who can't afford to upgrade their homes. Then that gets sent out in the derivatives market. The municipality gets a kickback. Because remember, the municipality is a business, at least according to the federal government, who says the municipalities are not, in fact, government, but a type of business. So the paper from the UN that was rewritten for Canadian standard by the David Suzuki Foundation, who is a criminal, just because he's in the green business, and he's hooked up with Maurice Strong's wife's girlfriend, who he's married to now. So it's very bad situation. So anyways, the plan is that once you upgrade and they get everybody up to the new standard, then in a few years, they just up the standard. So you can't win at this. And eventually, you'll be driven from your homes, which is the plan, because, of course, private property is not sustainable. It's a form of social injustice, according to the psychopaths that run the world. Anyways, that's not what we're going to do the show about. I just saw the ad, and it just. Now I have a Jeep Cherokee ad, which I could care less about, so we'll just move on. Now, this story here in particular bothers the hell out of me as well. Here's a lady. This is a story out of British Columbia, and the heading is, I have no country. After more than 60 years in Canada, BC woman discovers she doesn't have citizenship, which, as far as I'm concerned, is probably a good thing. But 67-year-old Irene Geislick is fighting to acquire ID. Now, she's had ID. But anyways, Irene arrived in Canada as a refugee from Germany on August the 25th, 1951, with her mother and brother. She was about 1 year old and has never known any other home since. But after more than 60 years in Canada, Irene discovers she's not actually Canadian. 67, she grew up in Manitoba, now lives in Deep Cove, B.C. Over the course of her life, she's worked as a welder, car dealer, artist, among other things. She also married, had two children, and was widowed. She's always had a social insurance number, health insurance, and paid her taxes. The realization that she's not a Canadian citizen has sent her life into a tailspin, leaving her unable to acquire valid identification and at risk of losing her health insurance. I always felt I was part of the system, she said. Now I feel I've been here for 66 years and I don't count. Well, actually, Irene, none of us count. So don't feel lonely. Irene discovered her status when she tried to enter the U.S. in March of 2012 without a passport. Prior to 2009, Canadians entering the U.S. by car were not required to have passports, said Irene. And Irene traveled there many times using her driver's license as ID. But this time, homeland officials turned her back, urging her to get proper travel documents. Jesus, eh? Documents, please. They said she had no proof she had a right to re-enter Canada and would need to apply for a temporary visa in order to return home if she entered the state. After several hours of confusion, she was eventually escorted back into Canada. It really, really confused me and scared me, said Irene, who immediately applied for a record of her citizenship. Since then, she's been in a back and forth battle with Immigration Canada trying to obtain documents proving her status as a permanent resident. To her shock, she discovered she never became a citizen. The only person who might know what happened is her 95-year-old mother, but she has debilitating dementia and Alzheimer's and is unable to explain how or why her daughter, unlike the other family members, slipped through a crack. Irene does not know why her mother did not fill out the paperwork for her to become a Canadian citizen. I'll get to the point of this in a minute. Immigration Canada would not comment on how many of these cases exist. Irene does not have German citizenship either, which makes her effectively stateless, which is pretty good, Irene. I would love to be stateless. She says her lack of citizenship, slavery card, likely went undetected for so long because she never applied for a passport or voted, as she preferred to remain politically unengaged. She said her older brother, who was also born in Germany, was issued a passport when he joined the Royal Canadian Navy at 18. Irene said she now realizes that had she applied for citizenship before the age of 21, she might have avoided the situation she now finds herself in. I realized I have no country, she said. I'm an undocumented immigrant. Subheading down here, panic sets in. In March 2013, Irene's husband suddenly died. Shortly afterwards, she applied for the survivor benefit allowance, but because of her lack of documentation, found she wasn't eligible. I didn't even have time to grieve, she said. She took steps to apply for a permanent residence card with the goal of eventually becoming a Canadian citizen, but she soon discovered that her situation was so uncommon she faced roadblocks at nearly every step of the process. In June 2013, she sent an application to Immigration Canada to receive a replacement copy of her record of landing at Halifax's Pier 21, but it was returned and marked incomplete. A few months later, she reapplied and this time received no response at all. After 2 years of back and forth, she eventually received confirmation from Immigration Canada that she is a permanent resident. However, She still lacked the proper identification that would allow her to apply for citizenship. In March 2017, Irene received a letter from the Insurance Corporation of British Columbia stating that under a new system, her BC health card and driver's license would be issued together because one of her ID cards included her middle initial and the other didn't. She was asked to come in ICBC office to update the IDs to avoid problems with her health insurance. Irene headed to the office to fix what she thought would be a minor clerical issue, but ICBC told her that without a record of landing passport or permanent resident card, she couldn't renew her cards under the new system or her health insurance. With a major surgery scheduled in February, panic set in. She said the back and forth with Immigration Canada has been emotionally devastating and that she is now suffers severe insomnia. It's totally consumed me. The anxiety, the stress has caused me to go onto medication, she said, adding that she's retired and cannot afford an immigration lawyer. It really affected me emotionally. It's isolated me. I'm always in a panic mode, so people just don't want to talk to me. Immigration Canada confirmed to CBC News, that's the Communist Broadcasting Corporation News, that Irene arrived in Canada in 1951, according to her record. Their records is not a citizen. They said children who arrive in Canada at a young age must apply for citizenship along with their parents. A spokesman for Immigration Canada initially responded to CBC's request for information by directing Irene to apply for a permanent residency card. After CBC asked specific questions about the hurdles that Irene faced in trying to apply, Immigration Canada signed a caseworker to the file. The BC Health Ministry has now told Irene that her health number will remain active until February so she can undergo her surgery. Immigration lawyer Richard Kirtland said cases like Irene's are not as uncommon as they might seem, especially in cases from decades ago. Immigrant parents might not have applied for citizenship for the children because they didn't understand the process or couldn't afford the associated cost. The person has worked so hard, or the person has worked so hard to get a solution, and they're only at the permanent residency confirmation decision. He said, he added that Irene should be allowed to immediately apply for citizenship because she obviously qualifies. Irene said her experience has led her, after feeling very betrayed. I've always been a proud Canadian, so to speak, because I thought I was. And I still consider myself Canadian after all this. Now, here's a situation that could have been and should have been fixed within a matter of weeks. They have the documentation that she came here to Halifax at Pier 21 in 1951. The government has that information. She was allowed to work, allowed to get a driver's license, allowed to pay taxes. And she's like 66 years old now. 66 of them, or 67 years old, 66 of them spent here in Canada. She lost her husband, needs an operation. Now they're telling her she can't drive, she can't have her health card, even though the government has absolute proof that she landed here in 1951 in Halifax at Pier 21. Now, this should have been fixed, easily within a few weeks. Now, so they're going to deny her health care. She's not going to get her death benefits after her husband died. She probably doesn't qualify for a pension. Now, you know, what would be probably best at this stage for Irene to do is go across the border into the United States and then come back across the border at a non-documented border crossing. And come in as a refugee, because then she will get housing, she will get medical, she will get dental, she can get a driver's license. And now, if this woman was Muslim or from some other country, not white European. Now, you got to remember, Irene is German-born, German white-born. And at this point in time, the Minister of Immigration, who is sidestepping all the rules and regulations as they make it easier and easier and easier and easier and easier and easier for people to wander into this country with no documentation from anywhere, to be looked after. But Irene's a white German woman, a white German ancestry anyway. And I think therein lies the problem. And this is not acceptable. Absolutely not acceptable. They're just jacking this lady around. Why? Because they can. And more people of European background or ancestry are getting jerked around more and more every day. If I look at an immigrant crooked, I could end up in court. Really don't have to say anything anymore, because the whole system has shifted, and anybody that's white is a problem. I could be on a bus, I could be on a street, and a bunch of immigrants go by and I might look in awe or something, like, what the hell? And they would look at me and take that as racism. And we're having more and more of these problems all the time. It has to stop, plain and simple. The only ones who are going to stop it is us. Now, I read another story, and I can't seem to find it right now. And it was a story about, here's a story, we'll do this. Is this the story? Well, this is a story, again, from, it's called The Explainer, what refugees claimants receive from the government. And here's a bunch of them lined up at not a normal border crossing. And there's a RCMP guy standing there. Now, let's see, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, a dozen people or something there. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police officer informs migrants of their rights at the St. Bernard de Lacolle border. August the 7th, where many of the thousands of migrants making their way into Canada illegally near the St. Bernard Quebec border crossing, setting foot on Canadian soil, is just the first step in the process to gain the right to stay legally. Now, maybe Irene, I mean, she kind of stick out like a sore thumb. We got a white RCMP and a dozen Muslim, she might stick out a little bit. But Irene has been here since 1951, is getting jacked around for an awful long time, But the RCMP guy is, once you set foot on the soil, is just the first step in the process to gain the right to stay legally. It's that easy, unless you're Irene, who is European German. Asylum seekers must fill in a claim with the Immigration and Refugee Board, and shouldn't be too hard because Canada is partnered with the UN Refugee Agency, and George Soros has opened societies to open the borders, but only to certain groups of people. So there's services provided by different government agencies, most of which have funds set aside for new arrivals. Jeez. But Irene couldn't get death benefit for her husband. What happens at the border when migrants arrive at unofficial border crossings like the Roxham Road, they are apprehended by RCMP, who verify identification and then take the asylum seekers to the Canadian Border Services Agency office for a health and security check. Now, they told Irene if she went into the States, she wouldn't be really able to get back into Canada. But these people are coming across the border from the States. And there's all kinds of pictures of the RCMP, which is the Queen's Police. People think the RCMP are Canadian police. No, they're the Queen's Police. RCMP is the Queen's Police Force. So maybe I'll ask, maybe I'll be writing the Queen and say, "Hey, Queenie, what the hell do you think you're doing? Because we ain't going to put up with this crap no more." There's all kinds of pictures out there with the RCMP carrying the luggage of these illegals, as they're called in the story, and looking after them really nicely. Welcome, Canada. Then their request to claim asylum in the country is registered, and they are referred to Pradia, the provincial government organization that helps new arrivals in their first few months. They assess their psychosocial and medical needs before determining whether to send them to one of 12 centers set up to temporarily house refugees. RCMP says intercepted 3,800 asylum seekers crossing illegally into Quebec since August the 1st. That's pretty busy. I mean, it's only December. Pretty busy little entryway there, border crossing. But they don't stop anybody. They don't say, "You can't come in here. You can't just come in the country. You got to go through the front door." Well, but there's a Muslim immigration minister, and Canada teamed up with Soros Open Societies and the UN Refugee Agency, and they kind of told us we come through anywhere we want. And that's what we're doing. There's currently a wait of about 3 days, is somewhere between 1,000 and 1,200 migrants wait to be processed. So many are sleeping in tents installed by Canadian forces. So we're all kowtowing to the illegals. So they got about 3 days, a three-day wait. Well, poor old Irene there, she's been shuffling paper back and forth for years now. Doesn't seem to be getting anywhere with these clowns. So, again, maybe she ought to just get across the border and then come back in. Asylum seekers must declare how much money they have at the border, and their financial status affects whether they get to stay in one of the temporary housing centers, and for how long. If agents determine the families don't have a lot of money, they can typically stay in the centers until their first monthly social assistance checks arrive, according to Paul Clark, Executive Director of Action Refugees Montreal. Let's see, newcomers usually have to wait between 21 and 35 days for a check, although I'm pretty sure that Irene's been waiting a hell of a lot longer than 35 days for her benefits after her husband died, the death benefit, because she ain't got it yet. If a person already established in Canada loses their job, chances are they have some clothes, furniture in their apartment, a bit of food in the pantry, and some pots and pans to cook with it. Imagine being on welfare and you have none of that. How do you even get started? He said, you have to have a check. And we're more than happy to hand out as many checks as possible to as many people as possible. But that Irene lady in BC, nah, I don't think so. She's been here for 66 years. And she failed at some point, or her mom failed at some point, to sign a piece of paper. So she ain't getting a check. So once you get the check, then you rent a place. But where do you sleep? Where do you sit? Well, we'll need some money for beds and furnishings. But those beds and furnishings aren't available to the multitude of people in Canada who are living in shelters, who are living in tents on the side of the road, or in camps they've built in the tree, in the bush, because they have nothing left. But hey, you want to come across the border illegally, we'll make sure you got a check, and then we'll make sure you got some more checks. And who's paying for that? The government's paying for it. Well, the government ain't got no money. The government ain't never had no money. The only money any government ever gets their paws on is your money. So they're just digging into your pocket and handing out these checks to people who should not be here. You got to come to grips with that, people. They're breaking all the immigration laws. But then we got a Muslim who's head of immigration. We've got sanctuary cities all across this country. Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, London, Windsor, Toronto, Hamilton. They're all over the damn place. Which gives sanctuary to illegal immigrants who don't even go sign anything up, which is completely against immigration law. But it's going on all the time. And these people are being funded. You go to work and you say, oh, I'm making this much an hour or this much a day. No, you're not. You're making less and less and less and less every day, which is the plan, to turn this place into a third world country. And you're doing a very good job of it. So, you know, tomorrow when you go to work, you just realize that, wait a minute, I'm paying for all these illegals. Yes, you are. And that's coming out of whose pocket? Yours. And there's lots more of these refugees to come. And our borders are wide open. Wide freaking open. And the military is not going to close them. And the RCMP is not going to close them. And if they're not closed, this country is going to spiral into a third world shithole. And you will become the minority. It doesn't matter if you're the majority or the minority. If you are white, you're racist. So as they gain, these immigrants gain more control in the legislatures and the councils, they will be making law. And that law will be against you who built this place. At some point, you got to wake up. So we want to work. The asylum seekers groups call on Ottawa to issue work permits. We're not supposed to be here, but you need to issue us work permits so that we can work. You know, we thank you for the rent checks, and we thank you for the food checks, and we thank you for the clothing checks, and we thank you for the furnishing checks, and thank you for putting our kids into the schools and we don't have to pay, and thanks for the medical free and the dental free, and we're not even supposed to be here. This is fantastic. Now, do you not think there's a huge call going out across the globe? Get to Canada. Get to Canada. Healthcare and education. Refugees claimants in Quebec have access to benefit health services and some prescription drugs, unlike the lady, Irene, in British Columbia, who's been here since 1951. Covered by the interim federal health program, or run or buy the Quebec health insurance. French language preschool, elementary, and secondary school is free for children between the ages of 15 and 18. But in order to enroll, claimants need to present their refugee protection claimant document issued by the Federal Immigration Ministry. But they can't seem to get something for Irene. Oh, yeah. White German ancestry. She'd be one of those white supremacists. She's probably a freaking racist. Well, best not help Irene. Even though Irene was a welder at one point, which means she must have built something in this country. But that was the old days. This is the new days. Once the asylum seeker has submitted her refugee claim, they have to wait for a hearing that will either approve or deny the claim. If they are denied, they can appeal the decision under certain conditions. If they've exhausted the appeals process, they will be ordered to leave the country. Now, that is going to happen about the same chance of that happening is you winning the big lottery, which is about 14 million to one, or being hit by lightning twice. Claimants also try to apply for permanent residency under humanitarian and compassionate grounds. Okay, so if you're they say, well, you've screwed up here, well, then you go for the humanitarian and compassionate grounds. Several community groups help connect asylum seekers with lawyers. Well, again, Irene can't afford an immigration lawyer, but hey, no problem. These people aren't supposed to be here, so we'll get them a lawyer. And those who don't have the means to pay the fees are eligible for legal aid. So, is it really worth the trouble being white anymore? It's a question. Now, there's another article here, if I can dig it out. where is that? It's another pathetic article. This is it. Oh, this is it. Where the hell did I get to? Where did that article get to? Well, let me see if I can dig at what I'm looking for here. Well, I might as well do this thing while I'm here. Let's try this. So this was just issued yesterday. So we have two people. We have Irene, who came here in 1951, Halifax, Pier 51. Lived here her whole life. Government didn't have any problem letting her pay taxes. But this is not immigration anymore. It's migrants. And it's not just any migrants. They're international migrants, okay? And Canada has signed on to the UN immigration or migrant agreement, which basically states that being signed on to this thing, we must open our borders. We don't have a choice. Well, we do have a choice. We just cut the UN loose. And that has to happen. So anyway, so the statement for International Migrants Day 2017, Ottawa, December 18th, 2017. The Honorable Ahmed Hussein. Wait, didn't we just blow up a country with a guy with last name Hussein? Or first name Hussein? No, last name. Who's the Minister of Immigration, Refugees, and Citizenship. So we got a Muslim in charge of immigration, and Canada signed on to allow all the immigrants that want to come here to come here, and you poor SOBs that are busting your ass working, trying to keep a roof over your head, are going to be paying for the checks. So we got, and then we also have refugees and citizenship, the Honorable Christy Freeland, Minister of Foreign Affairs, and the Honorable Marie-Claude Bibeau, Minister of International Development and La Francophone, today issued the following statement. Here it is, right out of the gates. The United Nations designated December 18th as International Migrants Day. It is an opportunity to remember the rights, contributions and needs of migrants worldwide. Throughout history, migration has been a means for people to overcome adversity and seek a better life for themselves and their families. There are currently more than, are you ready for this? There are currently, now remember, the borders of this country, known as Canada, have been flung wide open. And we have the Minister of Immigration, federal, who is a Muslim, and these other nut bars, praising the United Nations designated 18th of December as International Migrants Day. There are currently more than 244 million international migrants around the world looking for a place to live. In particular, a place to live where people write them checks. They don't have to pay for anything. And 1 in 10 of them are under the age of 15. Canada has a long and proud tradition of immigration. And one in five Canadians is born abroad. Migrants contribute to the identity and the long-term prosperity of our country, enhance the cultural richness and diversity of our communities. They bring new skills to our labor force and contribute to innovation and the economy. Have you ever heard such a load of horseshit in your life? Safe, orderly, and regular migration brings positive contributions to our societies. We must work to build greater respect for the dignity and human rights of migrants and to eliminate all forms of discrimination, including against women, girls, and persecuted minorities, which makes everybody in this country a racist. Migrants are often subject to inhumane conditions and human rights abuses, such as human trafficking. Migrant women and girls are particularly vulnerable during their journeys and need protection. We must not forget them. Today and every day, Canada is committed to protect and uphold their fundamental rights and freedoms. Not your fundamental rights and freedoms, but their fundamental rights and freedoms, because you ain't got any anymore. So, for further information, media only, please contact Media Relations, Communications Branch, Immigration, Refugees, and Citizenship Canada. It's funny how they put Immigration, Refugees in front of Citizenship Canada. Used to be the other way around, I believe. Or it used to be just Citizenship Canada. Then the down underneath on the same page, we have the Prime Minister Justin Tinkerbell Trudeau delivers a formal tear-jerking apology in the House of Commons to the LGBTQ2 Canadians. But you, who are not an immigrant, a migrant, you who don't run around half naked on the main street of a town flying this pride rainbow flag, you don't count. Your job is to shut up, sit back, and fund all this garbage. So you really ain't got time to get involved in it because, well, you're going to be too damn busy working so these other people can live off your paycheck. It's really quite pathetic. Now, there was a story. I want to worry about that right now because I can't find it. So now we'll boot it over here to Ontario, where we have another LGBTQ2, I guess now. They keep adding things to it. The Premier of Lesbian World, Wynne, the Premier of Ontario, wants to level, now this is very important to understand, wants to level the playing field for Ontarians. Now remember, Ontario has basically twice the debt of California. So now she wants to level the playing field. The Ontario Premier says she will campaign to help those who are struggling despite an improving economy. Now, I don't know where they come up with the improving economy, but hey, it's a politician, it's an LGBTQ talking, was put there for a purpose. Wynne says she'll campaign in next June's elections on more ways to level the playing field. Don't forget that. leveling the playing field. Okay? So those of you who still have your head above water, you best get a snorkel, because the water's rising. Because we're sitting in the drowning pool. You're going to level the playing field, for Ontario is struggling even as the economy improves, with unemployment at a 17-year low. Now, these would be government statistics. And if you believe any of that stuff, well, sorry. You believe what this dyke is telling you. Everybody in the province knows what I stand for, when told the Star in a year-end interview. Well, I don't think they do. Not everybody in the province knows what you stand for. In fact, very few people do. Very few people understand that. They just think you're crazy. They don't understand that you're a international globalist, satanic puppet. So I don't think that many people understand that, or they, you wouldn't be sitting where you are today. Let's see, touting a new pharmacare plan for people under 25 and a $14 an hour minimum wage starting January 1st, moving to $15 in 2019. Now that is straight out of the United Nations. And what it does, really, one of the things it does is it's another revenue stream for the government. By forcing the minimum wage up, more taxes are going to be paid by those who are getting those paychecks, which is a revenue stream for the government. But it's also a yoke on the small business. But then again, the idea is to run small business out. So only the international, the multinational, the huge box stores and that, get all the profit, because there's no competition left. So leveling the playing field is not a good term at all. Anything we do going forward, that is again UN lingo, is going to be consistent with what we've already done, which means trash you. Because there's been no positive anything come out of this premier's time in power. So whatever we do going forward is going to be consistent with what we've already done. And what we've already done is put the screws to you and sold off a lot of what you and your forefathers built to private, international, multinational corporations. She added, flagging prescription drug and dental coverages gaps in Medicare that need to be addressed. I have a deep belief that we don't play on a level field. And so what I can do to level that playing field, and so the question is, what can I do to level that playing field? Well, I would suggest maybe suicide. That would be a start, then, because we wouldn't put up with you anymore. Now, the conservative leader, Patrick, I'm a complete asshole, Brown, has released his full people's guarantee, the people's guarantee. Again, that is Marxism. So we have a liberal Marxist and we have a conservative Marxist. And that's the party system, which is the left and right leg, or left and right boot of tyranny, stomping on your head. When you get tired of being stomped on by the left, then you throw the left out and vote in the right, who then the right boot steps on your head for quite a while. But the whole deal is that this left-right, just like the march, left-right, left-right, left-right. I wish I knew some military little songs that go with left-right. I don't. But they're marching you to a place you most definitely do not want to end up at. So, let's see. So Patrick Brown says he's going to delay the 15 minimum, 4-year delay on the 15 minimum wage. When is cagey on when the liberal effort will be revealed? Most elements are widely expected in the government's annual budget, yada, yada, yada. The liberals are going to put out a budget in the spring, apparently. Let's see what else we got in here. So, wind sites 25% off hydro bills, new transit lines in the works, and the Vaughan subway extension that just opened. Free tuition for low and middle income families, more child care spaces, her successful push for an improved Canada pension plan, and indexing the 15 minimum wage to inflation as ways she has tried to improve the daily lives of Ontarians. Well, you can't do that. Okay? The idea is that get the hell out of our way. Okay? The bureaucracy has grown so humongous that it's drowning us. And all parties are pushing the international agendas. Doesn't matter which one it is, they're pushing it. You know, so the liberals say they're going to put in $600 million in subsidies to upgrade your insulation, windows, and whatnot, and then the conservatives come along and they say, well, yeah, well, you elect us, we'll put in $1.5 billion. These numbers are easy to throw around because all this money's coming from where? Out of their pockets? Absolutely not. It's coming out of your pocket. So you better wise up to this stuff. This idea, when a politician tells you they're going to give you something, oh, isn't this wonderful? They're going to give us more. We should vote for them. That makes you an idiot. Okay? That makes you a complete idiot. And I think we're about out of time here pretty soon. So this is about patience. Let's see. Opposition parties, however, say overcrowded hospital, hydro bills skyrocketed out of control, and almost 15 years in office by the liberals leave the liberals ripe for defeat. This is about patients waiting in agony, treatments being delayed, and people having their health and dignity impacted by hallway medicine. This is about people's lives. NDP Horwitt said last week, highlighting an issue that her party will hit in the campaign. While she wouldn't reveal details about the liberal election strategy, Wynne was certain she won't be pictured buying pot at some new government-controlled cannabis shop as she was buying wine at a grocery store. I don't use marijuana, so I won't be buying it, she said, noting she tried pot long ago, and I'm on record on that, like that's some big deal on her part. I think I'm really going to enjoy running in the provincial election. I enjoyed it back in 2007, but I got in on the very last day. No signs, no flyers, no nothing, but I did enjoy it because these people that you're sitting in front of the audience with, these party candidates, are absolute idiots. And you can have so much fun with them because they are incredibly stupid people. And why we allow ourselves be really time.
Selling lies and buying time, killing people, next in line, lower classes, social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for the more.